Lord God, thank you for Jesus our Emmanuel. And thank you for the way you watch over us and you guide us. Probably every one of us in this room, or at least most of us in this room, know the story of Jesus. You've sung the carols. You've heard the readings. God becoming human. That, folks, is the mind-bending truth of the Christian faith. Every Christmas, I struggle a little bit with how do you present that well-told story in a fresh and not soggy way. And as I was savoring Advent, and as we walk slowly through the story of Jesus again this Advent, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Jesus is like the original undercover boss. And I said, there it is. It's the thought I want to leave for a moment. That idea struck me. Now, honestly, I had to watch a few of the episodes of that show. I had never seen it to kind of go beyond the title. But you can pretty much get the deal. The boss of some usually significant company, Sunday night, it's going to be the mayor of Detroit, I think, goes undercover. They go to a Hollywood-style makeover artist, and they are given a new identity. And it's really hard to recognize them. And especially if they're a distant boss you wouldn't know well. And then over the course of a couple weeks, they are given typically menial assignments in two or three different locations, and they have some ruse, whether it's a new person training for a job or something else like that. And this CEO starts working the regular jobs of the company. Most of the people he meets or she meets seem to have been handpicked. Their backstory is too interesting to just have happened. But that's the way reality TV works. Every once in a while, one of the people they meet is not a good employee, but usually they're stellar. And then the climax of the show happens when the undercover boss reveals himself in a one-on-one sit-down with each of these people who have mentored him or her in their job, flipping burgers, selling tuxedos, or wedding dresses, or whatever it might be. And in the midst of that conversation, he tells them how wonderful a job they're doing. And then he lavishes, or she lavishes on them, gifts, tens of thousands of dollars for special needs in the family that have surfaced throughout their time together. It might be equipment for a special needs child. It might be that dream wedding they were planning but they couldn't finance. It might be the down payment on a home and moving expenses to move from the apartment to the home. Whatever it is, it's tailored to those people. And in the one instance I saw where the employee was, I'll just leave it like that. Rather than firing him, the boss forcefully, but also gently, gives the employee a second chance, and his special gift happened to be training to do the job well. Turns out he had had no training to manage people at all. Well, you can get the fact that there's a tie in there with Jesus. Here he is, the one who created the entire world. He becomes the undercover God in our world. The Creator steps into the world and into His creation to experience life that His creation experiences. Now, admittedly, the story of Jesus goes far beyond undercover boss. Come back on Easter and we'll tell you more of the story. But you can see the parallel. I really love the way John sets it up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word, John says, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. One of the differences between the undercover boss on TV and Jesus, the undercover God, is that He doesn't just single out one or two select employees to receive lavish gifts. Jesus came to give gifts to all people. And John tells us two of those gifts. He came from the Father full of grace and truth. Grace is unmerited, unearned favor. And you need to hear both sides of that. It's unearned. We can't do anything to get grace. But it's also a positive gift. It's a wonderful gift. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us something we do not deserve. The unexpected kindness of God came in the birth of Jesus. Now, I think it's by God's design that the first gift He talks about is grace, because that's a good gift. You know what grace is. It's when you're at work and you know you have that curmudgeon person at work. No one seems to get along, and they just have a way of getting under a lot of people's skin. And then you watch that day when one of the other employees, or maybe it's you, they stop by the person's desk and they say, "How are you doing? How's life going on?" And then they say, "Hey, can I go into the snack room and bring you a coffee? You look like you're really busy." That bringing of a coffee, that moment of conversation with someone you're not attracted to, that's grace. It's unmerited. It's unearned. It's a favor. It's a gift. It's love in action. And that's what Jesus came to do. See, on a heavenly plane, Jesus gives us a gift of grace. We don't earn God's favor. We can't. God's perfect. We're imperfect. You know that, right? I know it. I look in the mirror every morning and I see more imperfections, and I'm not talking about dots in the face and hairs that are out of place. I see the things I did the day before. I hear the words I spoke I wish I could have back. I remember the thoughts that didn't pass my lips, but they sure were not honoring of some other person. I know who I am. It's hard in those moments to face who we are. But God said, "You don't have to be perfect to receive my gift. I'm going to come to you just like you are." That's grace. That's God's first wonderful gift. It's unmerited, unearned favor. And then the second gift was truth. Now, truth has two sides to it, at least in the way it comes from God through Jesus. The first part is from the divine perspective, from God's perspective, Jesus reminds us we're not perfect. He wants us to at least understand that, not in an oppressive, mean-spirited way, but let's face the facts. Let's listen in the mirror. Let's recognize who we are. I like the story of the young boy who wrote a letter to Santa. "Dear Santa, 3 boys live in my house. Jeffrey is 2. David is 5. Norman is 7. Jeffrey's good some of the time. David's good much of the time. But Norman, he's good all of the time. I am Norman. Now, the problem with that letter is none of us are Normans. And we know it. We're not perfect. And the truth of God reminds us of that. But it's not done in a sterile way, because the truth of God also comes and says, God has a way out from under our imperfections, our wrongs, our sins, the stuff that happens because we are human. God knew each and every one of us were human and frail and imperfect. And the imperfect can't dwell with the perfect. So God said, I'll fix it. And Jesus embodies the truth of God. And at Christmas time, we generally think of Jesus on the manger. And it is wonderful to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But he came for a reason. He came for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday. And in Good Friday and Easter Sunday, God gives us the way out from our imperfections. Because on that cross, Jesus said, I'll take your imperfections, your sins, your wrongs, and I'll pay the penalty for them so that you can be known by my Father as a son or a daughter, loved, cherished, and cared for. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And it's because of that grace and truth that those angels could sing. You remember, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angels were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor, grace, favor rests. We come to Christmas Eve service for many reasons. It's family tradition. We love the carols and the music and the candle lighting, which will happen in just a moment. And my hope is that every one of us here will actually hear what we sang. We'll take the words that were read and let the story and the message of Jesus steep deeply into your life, because God wants you to know that you are loved and that there is grace and truth for each and every one of us. The great news of Christmas, nothing any of us has done, no place any of us has been prior to tonight can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. And my hope and my prayer is that you will believe that and let that truth guide your life. Merry Christmas.